Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 204. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How you doing, guys?
I'll speak for Todd.
You're going to speak for Todd?
Yeah.
Why can't Todd speak for Todd? You're not going to let him talk over there?
Todd is not here.
No.
But we do have a special guest.
We do.
Filling
his
shoes.
Is it Bigfoot? Bigfoot?
Yep.
It's Bigfoot. Big feet.
It's our good friend, Pete.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
The Pete Peterson is
the
here.
One and only.
The.
Yes.
As far as I know.
Don't look
in the phone book.
We've had some requests and dedications, and now it's time to fulfill those, right?
Yep.
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Fun time, always.
Todd is out. He's not feeling well.
Under the weather. Got that flu thing going.
Feel better soon, bud.
So. What kind of weather is he under? It doesn't matter.
The bad kind.
Yeah, that's right. So our thoughts go out to him right now. I know he's starting to feel better, and but yeah, hopefully he'll be back next week.
Yep.
Right?
Flu is horrible.
Oh.
Flu. It's not fun.
Flu, no bueno.
If you want to feel sick, get the flu.
I do hate. I did it on purpose. I do hate it. Dang, I'm working on it. I'm practicing. So you guys having a good week?
Yeah.
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 The weather almost bumfuzzled us. Mm-hmm. I'll say it that way. That's a nice way of saying it. Right?
Mm-hmm. We had a really nice break, but
we did.
Got a little cool again. So
yeah,
64, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Ugh.
Spring's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I drove all over Indiana yesterday. So
yes, you said you had to go up all the way to South Bend, right?
Yep. Then came back and had to go to Danville to my chiropractor appointment. And yeah, it was like 6 hours plus driving yesterday.
And you had a migraine in the process, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you managed that. I could not do that.
Yeah, it was a long day.
So what are you doing up in South Bend? That remains to be seen, right?
It is a Amazon data center campus that we're building.
It's your next job then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Up there in New Carlisle, just west of South Bend.
So, Pete, if we do this in the future, we have to go up to South Bend to record.
Outstanding.
You're like, yeah.
We will do it from the Notre Dame campus.
Carpool, right?
Sure.
Yes, I knew you'd be excited about that.
out on the football field.
There's a casino right around the corner. I mean.
Yeah, there is a casino. I passed that. So, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I know.
We'll have to figure this whole recording thing out.
We do have to do that.
We'll get it.
We will get it for sure, yeah. And it won't last forever, right?
No.
Yeah.
Long enough, though.
I know. He's got that not so sure look over there. Oh, well, we're going to have some fun tonight, right? But before that, we have our first sponsor. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date, or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients, and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Thank you, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. See, I can do it too. It's not just Todd, right?
You got it.
I got woohoo! First try. I promise you, I didn't do that 62 times.
I've tried multiple times in the car listening, and I'm like, I can't do it. Can't do it.
Nate just goes CCBB.
That's
right. Well, thank you, Micah. We appreciate that, right?
Yep. Fantastic product. Still using it. It's great.
Daily basis?
No,
it's not a daily thing, right?
No, I use it for
hot date nights.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Coming, church Sundays.
Coming here, exactly, right? Here to the podcast, it sparkles, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, but it is good, and we definitely appreciate the sponsorship. Well, since it's a little bit of a different night and abbreviated, we're going to go right into the first announcements. Sean, you got those first announcements? Yes, I do have those first announcements. Pete, I know you know this, but we come here every week for the guy time, the paranormal, the creepy, the fun, right? The frivolity, I even like to say every once in a while. But the most important thing we do is come here to raise awareness for the mental health and the mental health community we are creating. So we want you to get help out there. Call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. I'm talking to you, Pete.
No harm in getting yourself right. Go talk to somebody.
Correct. That's right. So go get you some help.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're looking at you, Nate.
One thing that my brain went wonky when you're reading that. You said text home. It means text H-O-M-E, not text your home.
You know, I don't know that I've ever specified that. Do you think anybody out there is like, that doesn't work?
I'm sure everybody understands what it is, but tonight it just hit me different.
Your homie.
Home. No, I'm not going to. Oh, okay. Yeah. Text H-O-M-E.
Mm-hmm. So you're asking me to specify a little bit more next time?
No. No, I'm not. That's just how my brain operated tonight.
That's a good point.
It was weird.
I've never personally had to do either one of those. But I do know people that have, and both of them do work.
Yep.
That's all.
Absolutely.
There's someone on the other end. They yes. will help you.
That is correct. All right. So tonight is conspiracy night, right? Are you guys ready for this? Okay. So this is my brainchild, right? So what are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about CERN, right? You get the pronunciation in French, right? Francais.
I haven't found it.
I'm totally kidding. So like I said, this is out of my brain. We're going to get to talk about particle physics, which is awesome. And I was telling the guys earlier, like it is part of the fun of this, topic is actually learning about the science of it. I think that's just as exciting sometimes as the paranormal and like the weird and unexplained and all this, but it goes down all and every different direction and road. So I'm excited to see where this takes us.
Yeah. The conspiracy theories can be fun little things, but when you learn about the actual science and what's behind it, heck, if you're even debunking most of the conspiracy theories, you're still learning.
Exactly.
Smarter and every day.
The funny thing is, so I was just yesterday, we were talking about this at work, and I mentioned something about CERN, and this is before I knew we were going to do this, and they were like, what's that? It doesn't seem like very many people are even aware of what this is on just a, you know, very foundational level.
Anything like CERN?
No, it's not anything like CERN. Okay. You might, after we talk about this, you might be very concerned.
The people with the conspiracy theories are concerned.
Yes, and then some. Did you just do your rap?
Huh?
Did you just do your rap?
No, I don't rap.
It could be. You can't. No street rap?
No.
Dang it. You're not gangster like that?
No.
Well, CERN, C-E-R-N, not H-O-M-E, but C-E-R-N, is the European Organization for Nuclear Research, known as CERN. The French pronunciation, see now I'm trying to be all funny, Organisation Européenne pour la Recherche Nucléaire. I'm pretty sure that's really beat up there.
Nailed it.
Is it? Do you like that? Yeah. just act like you know what you're doing over here, right? Is an intergovernmental organization that operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world. Established in 1954, it is based in, I heard this pronounced different ways, so I'm just going to say it the way it looks, Myron, western suburb of Geneva on the France-Switzerland border. It comprises 24 member states. Israel, it was admitted in 2013, and it is the only full member geographically out of Europe. And CERN is officially a United Nations General Assembly observer. That's a lot of information about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a foundation.
Mm-hmm. I also, did you guys hear anything about the World Wide Web being created in this area?
Yes,
or this?
I think that's true. Like and the guy so that created it like worked there and created it in order to make sharing of information easier.
So the first time I heard that, I thought, that's not real. That's like made up. And then I kept hearing that. And when I learned about this, I'm like, I had no idea. So this, I learned many things, but I learned this for sure, that the World Wide Web, who knew, right?
Everybody thought it was Al Gore.
Right? I know. I don't want to let go of that even to this day, but yeah.
Yeah. On this site that I'm referencing stuff off of, it does say they've made important discoveries, one including the Higgs boson.
Boson.
Or boson. Mm-hmm. Or the God particle. And the invention of the World Wide Web.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's got to be real, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On this page, they have three bullet points of key takeaways, and I'm sure we will venture down all of these. It says that CERN has sparked numerous conspiracy theories, including fears of creating black holes, opening portals in other dimensions, and even causing earthquakes. Some of the other outlandish theories include sabotage by time travelers and accusations of attempting to open a gateway to hell.
Pish posh.
Fueled by misunderstandings and speculations about CERN's complex scientific research. Despite those theories, CERN's work, including attempts to create tiny black holes for studying antimatter, is conducted under strict safety protocols. Mm-hmm. I sure hope so. With the organization and the scientific community affirming the research poses no threat to the planet. How do they know?
I'm not sure that, they can say that all they want. And I still, I listened to the scientific part of this and I think, yeah, I trust science. But then I'm like, I don't know. You kind of go back and forth about like, how much do I trust what they're telling me? But I do.
Well, there's a very big example.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
I wasn't going to bring that up. We're not turning this.
Do we trust science?
Well, I admit that that skewed a few things. But the geek in me, the science geek, I'm a history geek, but I'm also a science geek. I love hearing about this and like, what are they doing and all this stuff. So on it, without even thinking the conspiracy stuff, I think it's really cool. And then, but when you do hear some of these other things, you're like, oh, that's weird. Oh, that's kind of weird. Oh, mm-hmm. What's happening here? And how do we know? But I think it's interesting because it's, it's below the ground and it is, 17 miles completely around.
Yeah, the big ring.
The ring. And they shoot basically photons at each other. Mm-hmm. But so I always just thought it was just one photon and another photon. How in the world do they hit each other? But they do billions at a time. So it's like 50 to 60 billion. And they said out of 50 to 60 billion going almost the speed of light, only about 50 to 60 actually collide. That's wild.
Wow.
And these two, so the tubes, they said you can fit about two hands in the tube. So they're not really large. And they said the stream that each one of these particles is hitting on is smaller than a human hair. The human hair is actually pretty large compared to the particles that we're talking about. But they said with this much space, you would think that many photons would have tons of them, but 50 to 60 actually collide, and they can do that over and over and over and over again. And so they can get all this data. But they said that the Higgs boson, the God particle, it is just a blip. Like you can just see this blip in their measurements, and they're like, that's it. That's all. I mean, if you just looked at it with the naked eye and layman like me, you'd be like, so it's a, it's a little blip, you know, but they're like, that is significant. And that the fact that that is created is a miracle, and it's this God particle, and it only exists for, I think they said, a millionth of a trillionth of a second. So it literally is like the blink of an eye faster than
faster,
that.
Yeah.
So it's barely there. And that's why they say, well, it does create these little, possibly create these little black holes, but they're just little, you know, and it's like,
that's where everybody just started freaking out when
yes,
they heard that.
When they're like,
oh, the earth is going to get sucked into the end
portals,
of the universe.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You are a portal guy.
I am. So this is where I always go back, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is perfect for me because interdimensional and all that stuff. Maybe I am absolutely correct.
Yeah, what CERN is trying to find out is how the universe works by studying the building blocks of all matter, as well as the fundamental forces that make them work the way they do, like gravity. So, yeah, as you said, they work on subatomic particles like protons and electrons, which are what make up atoms. So everything that they're working on is smaller than an atom. And then it creates such high heat, they have to cool this thing to negative 271.3 degrees Celsius, which works out to be negative 456.3 degrees Fahrenheit.
Is that what it was when it was snowing a couple weeks ago?
It's pretty close.
I was like going to say, that's darn close.
I want to say that's almost, isn't that like almost, what do they call that?
Absolute zero.
Yeah. I know it's in the 400s.
Darn cold, in other words, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they said the reason they have to keep it that cold, they said they keep it colder and more empty than actual space.
Wow.
Is what the whole, those tubes, that's the whole point, I guess. And it's like, that to me is just mind boggling.
Well, because, yeah,
you're going to bring welding into this, aren't you?
No, no, it's
I'm ready.
You want a vacuum because air creates resistance.
Yeah.
So get rid of the friction.
We did talk about how they're planning or they're wanting, they're pushing for another one of these, a CERN, 2.0, I guess. And would be similar to this design, only bigger and deeper. They want it deeper, bigger, and it would cost, this costs, what, $5 billion, they said, for these 22 countries, and or 24 or whatever. But this would be $17 billion. And then we were talking about maybe you could get the contract for helping build that. But it took a lot of years, it sounds like, to finally get everything done that they wanted to get done here.
Mm-hmm.
So that just begs more questions of, like, oh my gosh, now so you're wanting to do more craziness with, you know, opening up dimensional portals or black holes and
make bigger black holes.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is we don't even understand black holes, so how do you know if you are creating a black hole?
Right. I don't
you create
know.
What you think is one.
We need to get an expert in here, don't we?
Because someone called Neil deGrasse Tyson. Don't we have his number?
We had him on speed dial, yeah. And he blocks us. Just saying, I wasn't going to put that out there, but he's like, not those guys. No. The interesting thing is there are other places. So because it does get a lot of like pushback of like, we're not spending this money on something like this because we don't need this. So there's other ideas of like research centers that are kind of looking at something else besides the God particle, or maybe another venue. Like China has its own thing, like let's do this instead. And so different countries in this conglomerate are thinking of different things. So it's not like, oh gosh, we're just doing like, you know, evil take over the world part two, you know,
right.
CERN, because it started to get a bad rap.
Well, yeah, it's the one thing I found was, of course, it's usually TikTok or some sort of social media saying, oh, you have to look at
gospel truth. You mean?
Yeah. One person was quoted as saying CERN is literally summoning the demon. 666 is the logo, exactly 16.6 miles around, literally occult symbols everywhere. God be with us when this thing turns on starting July 3rd, 2022. Supposedly it will use more power than the entire USA does in a year. It's an underground, opening an underground portal. I didn't find how much power it uses. I don't know if that's true or not, but
yeah,
obviously I don't know.
Sounds believable.
I don't think it's creating an underground portal and bringing about the demon, but they reference the logo, and if you've seen the logo, you can kind of see where they would say, okay, that's some sixes in there, but then they actually explain why they have their logo that way, and
right.
said people don't realize CERN was founded on the 29th of September, 1954, under the Virgo sun sign, which is the sixth zodiac sign. Mm-hmm. People are taking that into account and running with that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Hmm.
I think it's interesting the different discoveries. Again, I would not have known that it was created in the 50s. I think that's pretty wild in itself. There's a lot of things I didn't know about this. You know, like I said, I knew a lot of the conspiratorial things. But in 1973, the discovery of neutral currents in Gargamel bubble chamber. I'm pretty sure that's Gargamele, but it looks like Gargamel. Smurfs is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
1983, the discovery of W and Z bosons in the UA1 and UA2 experiments. 1989, this is all credited to it, right? The 1989, the determination of the number of light neutrino families of the Large Electron Positive Collider, LEP, operating on the Z boson peak. All the stuff that we learned in science class, right?
Yeah, back
in the day. 95, it was the first creation of anti-hydrogen atoms in the PS210 experiment. That sounds like a video game. 99 to 2005, that was a long decade apparently for them, precision measurement of the Z line shape based predominantly on the LEP data collected from 1990-1995. So 99, the discovery of direct CP violation in the NA48 experiment. 2000 was the heavy ion program discovered a new state of matter, which was the quark gluon, I don't know if that's right, plasma. 2010 is the isolation of 38 atoms of the anti-hydrogen. 2011, we're getting close, right? Maintaining anti-hydrogen for over 15 minutes. That's pretty impressive. I don't know.
Are you anti-hydrogen?
I am.
Are you pro-hydrogen?
You know, I don't like to be anti-anything, but if I'm anti-anything, it's hydrogen, yeah. And then 2012 was the boson with mass around 125 GeV C squared, whatever that means, consistent with the long-sought Higgs boson particle, the God particle. And I think, so I'm not sure, and you might have said, I was thinking 2012 is where they say that's when they opened a portal, mm-hmm. whether they did or not, or where they, when they turned it on, turned it off, whatever they did with this collider thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they think like this. Things have not been the same since,
right?
Well, and they all everything sort of ran together. Theories run rampant on this thing, and it said that the collider was experiencing setbacks and delays in the early 2000s. Some thought this is where the time traveler from the future.
They claimed he brought like a bird or something.
They said that he came back and. Returning to the past to deliberately sabotage getting it turned on in order to prevent some disaster. This supposed time traveler tried everything, including a time-traveling bird with a baguette.
There, a baguette. It's France.
But the collider was eventually turned on in 2012. Anyways, they're saying that... they accuse CERN of causing earthquakes by sending plasma from Switzerland to Italy at high speeds, opening portals into hell and other dimensions, and shifting the world into an alternate timeline. So yeah, and then 2015, that's when they admitted attempting creating tiny black holes, and so the scientists can study antimatter, and they insist that its research... including that of microscopic black holes, is perfectly safe.
How do you know?
But exactly. Some theorists believe it could cause a collapse of the entire universe.
Here's my thing. So smoking at one time was seen as healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Cholesterol was seen as bad. All these things that were
the
like...
The earth was flat.
The earth was flat and all these things that have been turned upside down. And, you know, so how do we know that someday we might be like, what were we thinking, you know?
Wasn't that a line from Men in Black with Tommy Lee Jones when he said, imagine what you'll know tomorrow. Everybody thought the earth was the center of the universe. Everybody knew the earth was flat. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Yep.
When the aliens land. Yeah. We're coming on that.
Coming
soon. It's going to happen. I know, right?
I found more on the logo. The study of physical laws and the secrets of atoms and substances are woven into the symbols of the emblem. The CERN logo indicates multiple experiments, precise calculations, and the search for truth. and all of this is for the development of science and the advancement of mankind. The geometric shapes around the lettering depict the accelerator chain and particle trajectory. But modern hoaxers see schematic patterns as symbols of the Illuminati order, and some even think the frightening number of the beast is 666, encrypted in the rings and lines.
I can totally see that.
I mean, if you look at it, it's fairly obvious, but it's not why that's not why they say they did it.
So something we were talking about earlier is the statue that happens to be just outside of CERN is Shiva, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shiva is, so this is, it makes sense when you listen to it, but then there's also like, it's a little different. So India is one of the countries that is involved in, obviously heavily involved in science, you know, and the advancement of science, but also in CERN, invested in it. And so they, I forget what year it was. Was it 2002 or something? I forget. They
when they joined or?
Or not when they joined, when they basically donated this statue of Shiva to sit just outside. Shiva is, it's funny. So you're like, so it's a Hindu god. You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the auspicious one is what it's named, also known as Mahadeva, Deva, the great god, or Hara, is one of the principal deities of Hinduism. He is a supreme being in Shaivism, one of the major traditions in Hinduism. He is affectionately known as the god of destruction.
Hmm.
So it is with Shiva in the Hindu belief that it is... the dance that Shiva does is what gives birth and rebirth, basically, and keeps things moving and all the elements and all that kind of stuff. And so that is that. And there is an inscription on it basically saying, you know, this is the dance of the universe. And that is why they say they donated it, obviously, from it is. It's a cultural, you know, hey, this is important to the Indian people. Here's a gift from India. And so that's their explanation is like, it's just a cultural thing, but it is unnerving that the god of destruction happens to be outside of CERN. But they, like I said, they explain that with, well, it's the dance of creation and
destruction, creation. And
that's how science works and all these kind of
things.
He doesn't
just represent destruction. He represents the destruction creation loop that goes on and that he controls with the dance, apparently.
Because he's also known as the cosmic dancer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that make it sound like it's okay, but it's still, a lot of people are still very unnerved by that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there were recent conspiracies that coincided with the 2024 total solar eclipse here in the United States?
I knew that. No, go for
it. Well, they were running experiments on April 8th when the eclipse took place. So a lot of people were like saying that it had something to do with the eclipse.
Hmm.
They obviously don't have any anything that suggests or is coherent to explain what the correlation between it is, but they
eclipses
were saying
have been
it.
Happening since time was time, and all of a sudden somebody can mess with the eclipses.
But then they said that another one was Aleister Crowley. He
the song's playing in my head.
He's the infamous English occultist and writer. Said that he made contact with a demonic entity called Iwass, A-I-W-A-S-S, on April 8th, 1904. And that CERN might be attempting to make contact with the demon since they ran it that day with the eclipse.
Oh, okay.
That's wild.
So less of a causal effect of the eclipse and more of just a relationship trying to like draw on its power or something like that.
Yeah. But they said, bear in mind that CERN is located 100 meters, which is 328 feet, beneath the Swiss-French countryside where the total eclipse will not be visible. The total solar eclipse is over 3,728 miles away on a different continent and will have little impact on this work. So they say.
So you blew the balloon up and then you went... right? But it is interesting. But people will read into just about everything. But you can understand. There's several things that point to, wonder what's happening here. It's interesting. So it says... This is funny because it's kind of similar to what you were saying. It's a powerful scientific laboratory is ripe for conspiracy theories, as we're talking about, especially after it turned on the Large Hadron Collider for a while before it hit the on button. People feared the Large Collider might destroy Earth, being the largest machine in the world used to smash subatomic particles together. But alas, it still has not. While the kind of cutting-edge science discoveries made at CERN are thrilling, a number of theorists around the world still worry about the possibility of disastrous effects of the research. Stuff they don't want you to know, says they compiled, observed all the available data and theories. They could, should we be concerned, which is weird. So, yeah, should we be?
Can you imagine being the first person to flip the switch? It's like, is this going to destroy the Earth? I don't know.
Would you pee yourself
well,
a little bit?
Well, no better time than now.
It's like, how much do, do I love my wife and children? Yeah, a little bit. Forget the grandchildren.
You're either the guy that gets to flip the switch or the guy that accidentally kicks the extension cord out of the wall and shuts it down.
Yeah.
Sorry about your
Clark Griswold.
Yeah, and I'm not a genius by any...
Don't be modest. Lies. He is totally lying too.
But you know, I mean, I do have somewhat of a, you know, understanding, scientific thought process, I guess. And I mean, how do you know that you flip that switch and then the particles collide with each other and you create like the ultimate atom bomb? Yeah.
They say it's such little tiny; those little bursts of energy are so little that they're controllable. But yeah, I don't know either. Oh yeah, or how would
you
know?
Well,
you
don't know until the first one happens.
They're assuming because at the time particles that they were colliding, there was nothing smaller than that. So it's not like it's going to break up and have this massive release of energy like nuclear fusion or fission, where you're slamming all these atoms together and they're breaking apart, creating this uncontrolled reaction. So they assumed nothing would happen until they went, well, wait a minute, what's all these little other things breaking off? Like you said, Nate, luckily nothing did happen.
Essentially, the nuclear bomb or atom bomb or whatever is splitting the atom to create the explosive energy. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're taking particles and smashing them into each other. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to split.
Yeah.
Essentially the same concept in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they always, don't they always kind of round out those statements with, according to the laws of physics as we know them.
As we know them,
Well, we're going to try this according to these laws of physics as we know them, and we'll see what happens, because we might not know them.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens.
I don't know, just real scary in my view of it.
I read something. It was the ritual hoax at the Shiva statue. Did you guys come across that?
Uh-uh. I saw something about it.
The CERN ritual hoax is a found footage video that depicts a faux occult ritual occurring in the grounds of CERN near the Shiva, in front of the Shiva statue, the intergovernmental organization that operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world. The video became popular in August 2016 and shows several people dressed in black cloaks surrounding a statue of the Hindu deity Shiva and apparently performing a human sacrifice, an apparent mockery of existing conspiracy theories which suggest that CERN aims to use the Large Hadron Collider to create a portal to hell, summon the Antichrist, etc., etc. The video ended with the person filming crying out and running away. The artwork is a creative metaphor for CERN's mission and research regarding the cosmic dance. The artwork they're referring to is not the film, but the statue. The cosmic dance that you had referred to before, the God who danced in the universe into existence. So these people just thought, oh, we're going to reenact what we think this is all about in front of this statue that is supposedly the destroyer. And it was just this big hoax. Nobody was actually sacrificed. And CERN was like, we do not approve of this.
This is not what we're about. Yeah.
So it's like, and then it makes you wonder, someone got onto the grounds of the video, like not just someone, like six or eight people got into the grounds with black cloaks and a video. I'm like, do we not have cameras and security at the world's largest physics lab?
Seems like a smaller version of the Bohemian Grove type stuff. You know? No, it's not real. We're just having fun. Like, it's just weird. The other interesting thing that they do here, besides, you know, they do have, obviously they look at a lot of scientific stuff and data. But theorists advanced supersymmetry, nicknamed SUSY, to deal with several nagging issues the standard model left unanswered, such as why some elemental particles have mass, how electromagnetism and the strong and weak nuclear forces might once have tied together, and possibly what dark matter is made of. So they, one of the scientists I was listening to said, dark matter is a horrible way to say it. They should say invisible matter. And he's like, I really like the idea of invisible matter more than dark matter, because it really doesn't describe what it is. It says, also established a tantalizing relationship between quarks and leptons, whatever the, I'd never heard of a lepton, and makeup of the bosons that mediate interactions. But it just goes on. So it's kind of interesting. All these little things, it's like, it's wild because you think, well, it's just, it does one thing. Well, it actually doesn't. They derive a lot of different information. But I love the fact that they're trying to figure out, you know, what it, how it all works. I mean, they really are trying to break it down. And they are, you know, some of the scientists that were talking, they're just so, they're like, we want to know who we are and where we came from and all the questions of the universe, which I think is awesome. I mean, I think it's great to, you know, you question, but then you question everything.
And I start to think like everybody has occasionally that Jurassic Park moment where science says we can, but should we? You know, and I could see where that might drive some of the conspiracy theorists or more or people from, you know, other beliefs that would say you shouldn't be doing this because something could happen or might happen that, you know, you can't control or you have no idea. Like Nate said before, no idea what was going to happen when we flipped the switch day one. We kind of had an idea. We assumed a lot, but I can kind of see where some of the people come from when they're questioning, like, why they're doing this. We could, but should we?
That's always a good question. I know that you're probably not going to get anywhere if you don't push a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, risk a possible nuclear explosion or a rift in time-space continuum. It's all okay, right? You know, but we are living in some strange times, and maybe this is some reasoning why. Yeah. You do think about it. I like sit there and think, yeah, this would make a lot of sense. but you do, you just wonder, like, I always thought, especially growing up, like, oh, well, there's an order to this, and this makes sense, and this is why this is. But some of that stuff has been completely turned on its head. I have to, this isn't science related, but it's history related. I was trying to explain to my son and my wife, we come back from Williams. He had an orchestra it wasn't a concert. It was a little competition for, you know, their individuals. And then they did some quartets, and he was part of a quartet. So we came back, and we went to Danville Dips. We were having ice cream. We're like, hey, you did a good job. And they got gold. So he was super excited. So we were like, hey, let's just go have some ice cream. And so we went on the way back. I decided to, you know, Jenna's, she was talking about how she doesn't really care for history and it's just boring and all these things. And they're, cause I just start spinning yarns about things that I like or interested in or something, you know, something we see or hear or whatever, you know, I just say, hey, did you know this and that? And most of the time I get those like faraway looks like, oh God, he's going to talk again. I find it interesting, but I was talking about George Washington being the bulletproof president and neither one of them had ever heard that. And I went into that story. And, which I don't know if you guys, that's probably a story for another time, but basically he should have been killed multiple times over basically in battle. And one of them was, in the war, the French and Indian War. I think he was in one of the Indians who was a perfect shot at him 17 times and said, he should have been dead. Like, wow. There's no way. And so later on, after the Revolutionary War, this Indian who was an old man by that point wanted to go see the great George Washington. And he told him, he was like, you should be dead, sir. Like, there's no reason you're alive. And it has to be God that wanted you to do this. Mm. Otherwise, he's like, I should have gotten you on the first shot. So, but there was all kind of these examples. So I told him, and my wife's, her response was, how do we know history's even right? You know, and I'm like, okay, that's not the point of the story, but it's, and then they were both like, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like you can rip apart anything. Like, yeah. Really? I mean, oh, I'm like, this is a father of our country and we're supposed to be proud of him. And I'm trying to tell you how he was a great man. And you know, it's like, yeah, but how we know, you know, like, I don't, I've also had, to be fair, I've had conversations with her that start with something to the effect of, well, how do we know West is West? I was like, well, it's an agreed upon concept. So is the most of the things about our first president of the United States. But it's just funny that, you know, I had no leg to stand on when she sits there and starts trying to shoot holes in history. I'm like, I really don't know. She's like, were you then? No. And I said, you're just trying to be a jerk. And she's like, I'm not. I'm just trying to make a good point. And I'm like, okay, you've made your point. Can I just have some fun with a couple history stories that I enjoy?
This is why we need time machines. We need to go back to confirm this thing.
Mm-hmm. I would love it. Yes.
I was just talking to my wife.
Bill and Ted, right?
Before I came here, and I said, you know, I don't know what I was watching. Something on Mayan pyramids. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I had a time machine, I would love to go back and see like the week or month right after these giant cities and temples were abandoned and there was no one there, but it still looked like it was lived. That to me, that would be the coolest thing.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's just awesome to me. But most people, you get the eye roll occasionally and like, oh my God, what are you? Like, yeah, I would love to go see their culture too, but man, would it be even cooler to see like what happened?
We were sitting at the campground one night and I was just sitting there and I was looking at all the stars. So then I just started telling Rachel, like, do you ever, like, ponder and think, like, how far these are away? And some of them are actually dead, but we're still seeing the light from it. And so she's like, well, how's that? So I was trying to explain that concept to her with speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may take X amount of years, light years, for it to get here. And it could actually be dead and not emitting any light, but because it's so far away, we're still seeing the light.
Yeah.
She's just like, I just don't get it. Just, I'm so stupid.
Like,
no, you're not stupid. Just you have a hard time grasping that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Whereas I don't know, I get lost thinking of these huge, unimaginable.
It can
scenarios.
Be very overwhelming, yeah. Almost scary. I mean, when you start thinking about it, realizing your own insignificance in this whole larger thing. But.
Well, I always go back, and I think I've mentioned it a couple times on the podcast, too. Like, and for whatever reason, we're referencing Men in Black a lot tonight, but
it's a sign.
It is. We need to cover it.
Coming
it
soon.
It's on the list.
Or like The Grinch or Horton Hears a Who, or, you know, they depict, like, the cat has... And Men in Black has the necklace or whatever, and that's like a whole universe, galaxy
yeah.
type thing in there. Or Horton Hears a Who, you got the whole civilization on, what was it, a flower or something like
that? I think
that.
So.
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah.
Or like The Grinch Stole Christmas.
It was a snowflake,
It's like, what if we're just like, on a grain of sand on a bigger world out there? Yeah. And we're microscopic.
In some other atom.
Yeah.
Somebody's really grinding us in their heel right now.
So we're stuck in their undershorts.
Yeah. Some days you're the statue and some days you're the pigeon.
That is true.
So, I get thinking about that and it's like, man, if you really think about it like that and how we're like microscopic to maybe another being that's out of this world larger than us.
Yeah.
Like, you almost can't fathom it.
No, it's hard. It's thinking in ways that we can't even think. And that's hard to even say. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make any sense of this, Nate? This is back in 2022 when they turned it on and people were freaking out that we were going to shift timelines, which we might have. Right.
Well, yeah.
But it says it will run around the clock for nearly 4 years at a record energy of 13.6 trillion electron volts. That sounds like a lot of energy, but I don't know. Like,
can you weld with that?
Can you weld? That's what I want to know.
With anything.
He's like, the heck yeah.
I'm assuming that it is quite substantial.
I guess. I don't know. What, it's an electron volt, right?
Yeah,
volt.
I've never heard of an electron volt. So
the welding thing makes me think of the video I sent you guys with. I was like, this is so Nate, and it was a welding mask that had the disco bulb like reflection. And
the mirrors.
The mirrors. But there was one, you said you didn't catch it, but there was one that was a tombstone version that said, say when, and it had the mustache for Doc Holliday.
Oh, wow.
And it said, say when. And I was like, oh, man, that would have been Todd's.
Yes.
but yeah, that you got to have some fun with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it said, so this says, this is talking about how people were worried about it. It said, send two beams of proton particles in the nucleus of an atom, opposite directions at nearly the speed of light around 27 kilometer ring buried 100 meters under the Swiss French border. Resulting in collisions will be recorded and analyzed by thousands of scientists as part of a raft of experiments, including ATLAS, CMS, ALICE, and L HCB, a lot of acronyms. I'm not sure what they all are, which will be enhanced power to probe dark matter, dark energy, and other fundamental mysteries. But online, it says they were, it says one woman bizarrely claimed drinking over the 4th of July weekend would put those at risk of falling behind as the universe shifts into a new timeline as a result of the Hadron Collider. It says, do not drink. Keep up your good vibrations. High. Surround yourself with positive energy during the 4th of July or the 4th and the 5th. Women speaking on a TikTok post posted in Twitter. A lot of people think the last time CERN was turned on, we were shifted to a different timeline in reality. So it's very, very important to keep your vibrations high because they were thinking that this would help like not do that. And it said, I believe when it's turned on, there will be an actual shift and people will be left behind for the next 7 years. So it's like, that's pretty wacky. I have to say, like,
that's a lot of alcohol to be left behind.
Isn't it? Like, yeah. Well, they're saying
that's a hangover.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. But so people get really excited about this stuff. And I didn't even like, I don't remember in 2022, people are like, hey, be careful. We're going to shift energetically, you know? So, but apparently they thought we were.
I guess their annual budget to run CERNs in 2016 was 1.1 billion euros. I don't know what that
equates to.
And
it's like $10 USD or something.
It's 10, 10 buckaroos.
What's the conversion?
What's a buckaroo anyway? Does anybody want to know what buckaroos?
That's the Australian.
That's right.
Buckaroo's Australian.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
that what you get from kangaroo
to buckaroo?
A buckaroo.
Which one's worth more, kangaroo or buckaroo?
Exactly. Oh my gosh. If I ruled the world,
it's like that's what we know what Nate's currency would be.
Oh my gosh.
Buckaroo, man.
See, I knew this would be a fun talk, and it is. Would you take? I'd love to take a tour. I would totally go there. I would like high five the Shiva statue. And
is this supposed to hum?
Is that, yeah, exactly. What's that noise? Yeah, I feel different. Yeah, all of a sudden you like morph into like three people. Like, whoa, what was that? I'd have all kind of questions though. Mm-hmm. Would you have the nerve if you went there to ask any of the scientists or tour guides like, what's going on here? You know, it's kind of like going to the what am I trying to say? Colorado to the Denver airport and like,
oh right,
okay,
right, right.
Show me what's in the tunnels underneath, like right. You know, show me the secret society stuff, you know, like or under the Vatican, you know, like okay, what do we got hidden under? Would you have the nerve to ask? They probably didn't ask that a fair amount of times.
Yeah, and they probably have a fairly canned answer to it. They say, oh well, this is come on down and see actually what we're doing. We've heard all of these things. They probably embrace the conspiracy theories to an extent, much probably like Denver Airport does. Mm-hmm. And because you've seen some of the signage at Denver Airport, they actually like behind this. There aren't demons behind this wall. It's just construction.
The talking gargoyle that we did. Yeah.
So, I mean, if they would be smart, I would think to do something like that. Be like, hey, yeah, we acknowledge people think this, but here's we want to show you what's going on. I would like. I know I can't understand the scope of what they're doing in their terms and their education. So I would need someone to really explain it to me, like I was 12 or something.
Right.
I have some explanation for the bird and the baguette. But before that, can even the world's biggest science experiment be stopped by weasels? Yes. Yes, it can. In 2016, it lost power after a nefarious rodent chewed through electrical wiring. This followed an unfortunate event in 2009 when a bird dropped a bit of baguette onto electrical equipment and caused a power outage. So that's what happened with the bird and the baguette.
So that must have got out and somebody got a hold of that and spun it as the time traveler's bird. Or
yeah. He brought
sisters,
it, brought whatever, it back to foil being able to turn it on. So yeah. I was wondering what the whole conspiracy with the time travel
has
bird
to have
and
a nugget of truth in it somewhere. And,
you know, people would have been at the edge of the seats thinking, like, I wonder what happened with the bird and the baguette. I'm glad you wrapped that
Let
up.
Let me tell you.
This is interesting, and I did not know about this either, but when you look up the Higgs boson, It says, often referred to as the God particle, is a fundamental particle discovered in 2012 at the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. Nobel Prize winning physicist Leon Lederman coined the nickname God particle in his 1993 book, though the original intended to call it the, we'll keep this family friendly, the GD particle, because it was so difficult to detect it. The Higgs boson is crucial for our understanding of how particles acquire mass through the, I'm going to say, Braut-Englert-Higgs mechanism, which involves the Higgs field. This particle's discovery confirmed a significant part of the standard model of particle physics. It just keeps getting wilder and wilder. That's all I know.
Yeah.
You think Einstein and, like, you know, just some of the great physicists would sit there and be like, wow, you know, like to some of the stuff. I bet you think they would be front and center, or they'd be like, no, we're dealing with stuff that we shouldn't be dealing with.
I mean, from what I understand, I mean, a lot of this was built off of their initial research. I mean, mm-hmm. you're mathematically expanding off of what they discovered. So, I mean, I would assume they would
be all for it
and into it. So, yeah. And it, like Nate was saying before, you know, when they turn the thing on to find the Higgs boson particle, there, that's like the God particle, the smallest thing. Before that, they thought, oh no, this is the smallest particle. We're pretty sure this is the smallest particle that could exist. And mm-hmm. then you flip the switch and then, oh, wait a minute. So, I mean, they call it the God particle, and it brings all this, makes all this stuff happen. But
yeah.
maybe there's, we do continue this research. There's another step. And it makes you want to keep doing the research. I could see why they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think with quantum computing, AI, it's just this perfect storm of like, I don't know that we're going to get to this point where it's like, okay, we've learned it all. There's nothing else to, you know, let's just, which would be awesome if we were like, okay, we're to the precipice of where we need to be, and let's start making things better. You know, that'd be great. You know, let's make medical advancements. Let's make scientific. Let's make energy advancements. Let's start living wonderful quality lives and mm-hmm. not, you know, no more eradicate wars and live peacefully. Wouldn't that be awesome? But like, then that's ideally would be awesome if science led us there. But I do think that quantum computing and quantum, all the quantum aspects, it gets so wacky. Like I said, intermixed with AI, because they're starting to ask AI more of this stuff. Like, can you make sense of any of this? You know, like, and
yeah.
it seems like it's starting, you know, at some point it'll get to some advanced level where it's going to spit out stuff that we're like, what are you talking about? You know, as long as that's not like, we're here to take you over.
Yeah. That's
kinda
a rabbit hole, because
it's creepy. I know.
You have to think of AI as, it can be as smart, only as smart as what we're putting into it. The information we're programming it with has to be accurate. And mm-hmm. if it is as much as we currently know at the time, then hopefully it can come up with something. But what if this isn't all we currently know? What if there's a lot more? If we don't know that, quote unquote, a lot more, and we don't put it into the programming of the AI, the AI might not be able to come up with it. It will come up with something out of what we're giving it, which mm-hmm. may or may not be, because it's all of what we're giving it, what we're offering, the information we're inputting into it.
But you don't think that it can start extrapolating itself and start like learning and outdoing us eventually? I mean, I think it could.
I think it could.
That's the scary part.
And I haven't.
Done I know we're getting Terminator type stuff. Right?
I haven't done a whole lot of research on AI, but I
that's
think
our next
there's
one, right?
There's like two different kind of levels. Like what people are afraid of is like the what they call general AI, mm-hmm. which is it kind of just learning everything on its own and then just growing exponentially out of control. What we're currently working with is very like small, very finely pointed, focused AI. We are teaching it this information about this so we can get to this goal.
Yeah.
And we can still control that. So the step to general AI is what people are really afraid of. I don't think that's where we're at now. I'm ask someone way smarter than me, like Nate. And I think that's kind of where it's at now, but can definitely get there.
I do think it's cool that you have these abilities to, and I know they're going to have, or they're starting to have robots now, or you know, that could sit there in phones and whatever and can talk to you like a friend or mm-hmm. a companion or somebody to kind of like, you know, shoot the breeze with, but also like problem solve. Like, okay, well, I've got this going on. What do you think? You know, yeah. It's just like you'd sit down with somebody, a trusted friend.
You can rope in mental health counseling with it's, this. This yeah. is what we're here. Part of why we're here.
Right.
I mean, can you, what are the benefits of AI mental health counseling? You
so know, it's just,
there's a whole different roads you can go with it.
It is. And that's why it's so expansive with all these things. So, I mean, you can take it down to the dark roads and think, oh my gosh, you know, this whole CERN idea is really evil and awful. And, but it also, it gets us. And I do believe that there are scientists out there. I do believe that they're as part of this anyway, at least I have to believe that there's an altruism and a desire to answer questions and learn more about the universe, which I always think is very cool. Mm-hmm. And I have no desire to be part of something evil or nasty or destroying the world kind of stuff. I always want things to be better and lighter and greater and, you know, make life easier and more enjoyable for all of us and healthier and all those kind of things. So I'm all for that kind of like, let's look into things. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a little bit crazy to be like, yeah, it'll be fine.
And then you got to explore the creepy part of it. But you have to.
I know. And it's fun that way. Yeah, of course, that's why we wanted to do it. But
yeah.
Did you know outer space smells like burnt steak?
No. I'm trying to think. I mean, I could smell it anyway, but that's funny, right? Is mm-hmm. it? Is that, you just pulled that out of your...
Took us there?
Your behind.
Oh.
He just like...
No, I've heard.
Have you heard
that
before?
Yeah.
Real,
yeah.
Like the people that have been in space.
Mm-hmm.
How do like they smell it? How do they know that?
When they do a space walk, when they do a spacewalk and then come back in, their suit smells like burnt steak.
Huh. I guess I wonder if that's got anything to do with like cosmic radiation and
right,
that, like little dust particles getting cooked off or
something.
Not wild.
Why don't you know, Nate?
Yeah.
Huh? Why don't you know?
I couldn't tell whether he's kidding or not because I was like,
you had me hooked in.
I'm like, are you serious? I'll leave it to Nate, though, right?
Yep.
Oh, so we definitely visit. We would definitely ask lots of questions.
We would want to see
the super secret files, right?
See, overall, astronauts often compare the smell of space to hot metal, burnt meat, burnt cakes, spent gunpowder, and welding of metal.
Oh, yeah. These are all scents that cultured creature beard balm should be pursuing,
right?
I think. I love the smell of burnt gunpowder.
Burnt mm-hmm. welding.
I've been saying that for years. There should be a cologne of the smell of burnt gunpowder.
Yep.
That is very primal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it smells like.
I love that you just Googled that. It's like, well, what does space smell like? So, yeah, that's awesome.
I knew I've heard it before, but I just wanted to make sure.
A lot of beeps and boops, right?
Dave, what does it sound like? Because it makes me think of, I saw something the other day. They shot some kind of probe towards or into the sun, and they actually got like the sound of the sun, mm-hmm. and it is freaking haunting.
It sounds like hell, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It sounds hellish almost. Yeah. I heard that.
A lot of howling and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool, but it's like, I don't know.
Another show idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. One thing I had forgotten to say, and this is better late than never, is with this topic, please check out our show notes that we use for this topic. I did get that in there.
Yeah.
Right. So mm-hmm. we don't have to splice it in there. It's just in there eventually. So I had a bunch of notes like scribbled out on that. And that's my excuse for not saying that earlier. But
mm-hmm.
I said, check out our topic notes. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you guys have?
I have nothing else about it. You guys covered it. All I had.
That was fun.
I think we beat this horse to death.
Yeah.
You think so?
Saddle up and get us another one.
Well, that was an awesome chat, and I hope mm-hmm. everybody enjoyed that. And it will be time for the middle-aged moment or middle-aged dark side. Do you guys want to take a guess on what it's going to be? I will tell you, it is a thing of perfection.
You first.
Middle-aged moment. I'm always wrong.
Don't lead him like that. He's leading you.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to, just because of that, I'm going to say moment.
It is a moment. You're
yes.
absolutely correct. So I went
yes,
through.
Yes, I got one out of however many episodes.
Oingo Boingo's Weird Science, but I believe I've already used it. That's not what I'm using.
Oh.
No, I'm telling you the ones I went through. Oingo Boingo's Weird Science, and I thought, no, I think I've already used that before. And I'm like, that's too predictable. Then I thought Coldplay's The Scientist. And again, I think I've used it.
Please let this go where I hope it's going.
I came across a guy. This is actually a really good song too, Jarvis Cocker, and it's called Quantum Theory. excellent and it would have been perfect. I decided not to use that. The one I went for, you're never going to guess this one because this is from Austin Lawrence. I was listening to all this stuff last night. I was going over what song I wanted to use. I thought I had it figured out. And I went with something he posted. He said something about it being a rough couple days or rough couple weeks. And he was like, you know, even regardless of that, you got to stay positive. You got to like hold on to love. And we got to just take good care
fight
of each other.
Fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight. But that's not the song. Oh. It is one I'd never heard. And I did listen to it. It's very, very good. It's a band called Patent Pending. Have you guys ever heard of it? Like PP, you know, Patent Pending. And it's This Love Can Save Us All. And so it
sounds good.
Yeah. I'll have to send it to you guys too. You're going to love the lyrics. It goes perfectly with this. Lesson learned. We returned. Burn, scared, and alone. Exactly how they said it would be. State your case. Keep the pace. Face down in the mess. We made back home. We can give more than this. Though it kills me, and I'm sorry for the people that we all used to be. We can give more. Just believe. If we smile just a little more, get angry after all we've been fighting for, then I don't believe that we can ignore. This love can save us all. This love can save us all. Coming to, pulling through, who's living the good life? I'm exactly where I needed to be. Driving back, losing track, pack only what's needed to survive. And now finally, we say, we believe that we smile because we didn't fade. Can you believe that we are so helpless? This love can save us all. Very simply put. And I like that because no matter what, if we're looking at some kind of a terrible thing that we're opening up portals and all this darkness and evil and awful, whatever, and all the, you know, no matter what you're going through personally, on a local level, you know, your state, your world, your whatever, things can look very dire, you know, your job, your marriage, all these things. But it's like, you know what? The thing, the most powerful thing on the planet, truly, is love. Mm-hmm. And that is what can save us all. We just got to remember to do that. So I thought, you know what? With all this craziness and all these different directions we go, when I saw that with Austin, I listened to the song and I was like, it's a pretty good song, number one. Number two, I knew you guys would never get exactly what it was because it was something I'd never heard of. But go out there and listen to PP.
I thought you were going with Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science.
Man, see, I could
really wanted it to go there, but I really like the song you did go with. So,
yeah.
I
mean, so
now I want to listen to what you, the words.
I'm going to have to send that to you.
Yeah.
That is an excellent choice. So science-based things, I'm going to keep that on my list. There's a lot of them out there, too, because I kept thinking, ooh, there's so many different ways to go. But that was what I landed on.
Nate's
like, and he goes, yeah, I didn't really like it. Thanks, Austin, but no thanks.
I never guessed that.
You never would. But you guys both got it that it was a middle-aged moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Todd would have gotten it right, too. Right, Todd? Todd's like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Heck, yeah. So now it is time for shout-outs. Pete, since you're here as a guest, what? Do you have any shout-outs?
Shout out to you guys for inviting me back in and having
me. I thought
you
were going
to
say just Nate, but yeah, I appreciate that. You're like
the genius.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I really appreciate you having me by. It's always fun. It's always a blast. Mm-hmm.
Well, we took a shot because I thought, well, when Todd wasn't feeling well enough to even call in and be here, and I was like, we're going to talk a little bit conspiratorially. Let's see if Pete can do it. And I was like, yeah, it's okay if he says no. You know, I know it's last moment, but you were like, sure. You know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. You're very just like you were before, very natural. That's why we put the headphones on. And we're like, do you feel it? Like, does it feel like coming back home? You know,
yeah, it does.
Feels very natural, right? Anybody else? Nate? Oh, Nate, you got it. Nate's thinking hard, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm hurting my brain.
I smell smoke or burnt steak.
Are we in outer space? We're in the space of Nate.
The inner space.
The inner space. That's right. What's that?
Can't think of any.
No, none.
No shout outs.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to our man, Pete Peterson. So right back at you.
Thank you.
The Pete Peterson. You're one of those names that's just fun to say the whole name. If you can, you got to get it in there. Also want to shout out to Todd, our brother. I would say our brother in creepy arms, whatever the heck that means. We hope you get better out there. Hope you're back next week. And we missed you, of course. And hopefully we did you proud, right? That's what we were trying to do. So thank you guys. And so we have one more sponsor for you.
Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings.
Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts. We appreciate your sponsorship. We love you out there, Scott and Corey, don't we, Nate?
Yeah, two people that will remain nameless.
No, they're not nameless. I just named them, Scott and Corey. Well, they love you, even if you
have only been there once.
Yeah, it's true.
Has it only been once?
Yeah, I've only been there once.
It feels like you've been there 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. I have that persuasion on people. Yeah.
You mean they've never invited you back? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
That's not true either. You need to double that, right? You need to make it twice.
No, they're lovely people, and they have an awesome store. So run by there and pick something out and take it home with you.
That's right. And mention the Mako Boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, cool. And now we have the second part of the announcements. That's me. So I'm just introducing myself here. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. We have an email address. That is makopodcast@gmail.com. Two ways. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. Please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials. We have been a little bit lackadaisical this year. We'll get to it eventually. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So the hard thing about that, and I have to mention this right now, and Todd knows this too, or he may not know it about my part of it. But so we always use TikTok as kind of our people would. It's like, oh, this is what you do with your TikTok. It was like the graveyard for my videos. And I just dropped my video and that's how he could get it. Because otherwise we really couldn't send it to each other. So with this whole like TikTok being banned thing, I just deleted it because it's like, might as well delete it because it's not going to be there for a while. Well, and then it came back within less than 24 hours. So I was like, oh, I'll put it back on there. I can't do that because it's on this 90-day freeze. If you had it, it would still be there. But if you got rid of it, it's not on the App Store anymore.
Oh.
So I technically haven't been on I don't know when I'll ever get back on TikTok, if I ever will. So it puts a little caveat in how we do these, but we'll figure it out some way. So that's all I've got. Nate, we are to that part of the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm still concerned.
Are you concerned? Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to use that.
That's right.
Perfect and schlag. Right? Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, and Pete Peterson, of course, for being here, for listening to our episode 204 and our discussion on CERN in France-Switzerland border, right? So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.